cushion header. Pajero! Oh, you're beautiful! What a headshot! What a hit! Well, you take a second in these circumstances. What you have seen.
G'day everyone, welcome to the LFC Podcasting Couch, and we are back on the training ground. Finally. It's been a while since we've done one of these, but what better time to get straight back on the pitch, on the training ground, and chat about what Liverpool do best, play amazing football.
Yeah, final footy. Final football.
Finals football. It's Liverpool versus Real Madrid.
We're looking forward to this one.
We are.
We're looking forward to this one.
I can't actually contain the excitement. It's sort of hard because, yeah, like every day is just, it's not Wednesday or Thursday or Friday. It's just closer. Day three to go.
Yeah.
Day two to go, day one to go.
It's consuming.
Yeah.
It's
And we were actually talking about our superstitions before the game. I'm not sure if people have their own superstitions. I need to wear this particular jersey, but or this shirt. It's actually the Istanbul 2005
winners
shirt. It looks like a pajama top.
But I think everyone has that shirt, eh? Yeah. I know I've got one.
Yeah, you have to have that shirt.
You have to have that shirt. Coming to get my Kiev.
It's old school. Yeah. don't be like Real Madrid, Jesus. But we are going to Cheers Bar to watch the game. So my superstitions have been curbed because I was going to watch it on the same couch with the same shirt in the same position. But, you know.
But that's where I can come in and kind of level the superstitions because I've watched all the knockout stages at Cheers Bar with two mates that we are going to come to Cheers Bar this weekend, even though it's not that we don't want to. It's just that we don't want to get there 6 hours before, which we kind of have to. We're doing a live show. We're doing a live podcast show before the final as well. But due to superstitions and the way I am, because I've got many, it kills me. But we're going to go to Cheers.
By the way, Cheers Bar in Sydney is the home of the best Liverpool supporters club on the planet. On planet globe.
Number one.
Planet globe.
In Sydney, Australia.
And
so
that's
those
it.
Who think that, you know, we're not fans.
We're plastic. We're wool.
That's for you.
One of our representatives was at the award show
with
Mane. Mane handed the award. Mohamed Salah was cracking up. Jurgen Klopp had a smile from ear to ear. He has about 83 teeth.
Yeah,
it's incredible.
Yeah,
but we'll be there. I'm gonna look like I'm in my pajamas. It doesn't matter as long as, and we're doing it for the team.
Oh, we've been like doing a zombie. That's a full 24 hours I'll be awake.
I know. And you know what? We're doing it for the team. We've been doing our superstitions all week. Pete, you got one. I was going to call you Jim.
That's my dad's name.
But you go to the gym.
Yeah, the gym.
You go to gym.
No, we're not superstition, but you know how this funnel's consuming my everyday life. It's just, now, for example, I'll be at the gym and I'm like rep 9. I've got to get to 10, but I'm struggling. I'm like, if you get to 10 reps, Liverpool can win the Champions League.
Oh, no, it's that voice on your shoulder.
And actually, I've pushed out 5. I guess that's an extra 4 goals.
Yeah, an extra 4 goals. Yeah. I've got the same thing. Like, I'll just be like walking down the street and I'll see a bin and I've got a banana. And I'm just like, oh, yeah, but I think this Liverpool win the Champions League. And I'm like, boom, boom. Fucking, why have I done this now? And I'm just sitting there like this. Like, and there's people watching me on the street, and it's one of those fucked up bins.
And
it's not a basketball bin.
You can hear MVP.
Yeah. And I'm just like, I've now got to sync this for Liverpool. This is fucking ridiculous. Anyway, superstitions have been defining our lives. But it's okay. We're doing it all for you guys.
If you have superstitions, let us know what they are.
Yeah. Do you just sit on the street with a banana and try and get it into a fucked up bin with like 4 little holes in it? I sunk it, by the way. So
3 points.
Anyway, without much further ado. Jeez, coughed right over my comment. Without much further ado, we will get stuck into the training ground where we've got the same application as last time, footballtactics.net. So we've actually got a simultaneous camera going on here, which is pretty cool. That's how fancy we're getting. It's getting more and more technological as we go. But we thought we'd just sort of start with how we expect the two teams to line up. And I have included one name on Liverpool's sub bench. So we do technically have one extra sub up there, but we'll switch over to the other cabin. We can
see it. Part of the beat, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So this is what it looks like. You'll see it there on that other screen.
So cool. George and I have had some cool discussions in terms of we've gone through Real Madrid throughout the entire season. I've been lucky enough to go to Spain a few times this year and actually watch them play. They've changed through about 3 different formations entire season. They've gone from 4-4-2 flat, 4-4-2 diamond, as you can see here in this picture, and 4-3-3. Majority of the time they play 4-3-3 if Bale's going to play, or sometimes I might throw Asensio out there. But we've chosen 4-4-2 Diamond because that's the formation they've predominantly used throughout the season. Now, our theory behind that, or our thinking behind that, is it's a one-off game. It's a final. You play to what you know. You play to your strengths. You're not playing for, there's an away game or we've got 10 games left. You're not playing for anything. It's one game to win. It's punch for punch. It's a heavyweight title match. So I think we felt that they're going to choose the formation they've used the majority of the year, which is a 4-4-2 diamond, as you can see here, as we've chosen Ronaldo, Benzema up front, of course, and we chose Vasquez as the right back because he's finished the season strong.
By the way, I put the sort of lineup together. We both agreed on it, but the thing that you may think might be different is Bale, where he is. Do you think he's going to start?
Well, if he doesn't start, it will be Asensio. It will be one of the two. I can't see Isco starting.
I don't even have Isco on here. Maybe he's Hernandez or one of those
weird names. But it will be Bale or Asensio starting. But I do think Bale will start because he's finished the season so strong.
Mm.
But he might even start him here to kind of throw Klopp off a little bit. And then he might just venture off and may look like that.
And there you go. It can almost become like a 4-3-3. I also saw him. He was drifting everywhere in that game. Like he was on
against Barcelona.
In any game that I've sort of seen Bale in, he's almost like a free roam. So
because what you'll see with them, he will go there because they were like even Ronaldo will start to move more like in and central because they want to leave. They want to leave all this. Where is it? Where's my rectagon? Rectagon.
Rectagon. They leave all this sounds like a sex move
or a transformer.
Transformer.
They leave all this area here for Marcelo. So they really don't want to, like, they don't occupy his space because what happens if you've got players in here, more likely we're going to have defenders in there. So you start to throw the players out one way, Wooster shift that way. Marcelo does his little, Marcelo does what he's famous for. And off he goes. So that's, and a lot of people are talking about that's their main threat. They meant threat being Marcelo obviously overloading the left side, but a lot of the times that they play is actually they play quite centrally as well. Everyone fears that Marcelo thing because maybe they don't watch them enough or they don't look into it too much. But yes, that is what Marcelo does more often than Vasquez. But when you've got Benzema and Ronaldo straight through the middle, and then you've got obviously Modric and Kraus behind them, I would go central too.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, when we do look at the Liverpool squad, it's pretty self-explanatory. I mean, you do have... sorry, I just need to check that out. I had this weird thought that maybe we weren't recording.
Oh, God.
So I just had to
make sure that we are.
I mean, for you guys, you're watching this, it's all gone very well, but I had that moment of... So I tried to sneak a little look there. But anyway, the way Liverpool... If we go back to this camera, way Liverpool line up is, Mane, Firmino, Salah, Milner, Hendo, Ginny, Robertson, Van Dijk, Lovren, Trent Alexander-Arnold. I mean, that's pretty self-explanatory. I think it's more interesting to look at how we think that Real Madrid could possibly line up because one thing that's interesting is that, Jurgen Klopp usually tries to play his game plan like this, basically, try and do the same thing, or not the same thing. There are minor adjustments to it, but we've pretty much seen the same lineup. I mean, there's been a little bit of a, possibly you could have, this thing going on or, like the 4-2-3-1. But by and large, I think that bodes well for us, the fact that Liverpool have a set plan and we've been throwing people off with it, whereas Madrid have had to tinker with things to try and get their way, basically.
Also to manage egos as well. That's why I think he's done that majority of the time as well. I think he's just trying to stroke their egos, whereas Klopp's like, nah, this is why we're doing it.
Yeah.
And because it works. So, yeah.
Absolutely. So, yeah, the next thing that we wanted to get to was the... subs. I mean, this is an interesting thing because like we mentioned at the beginning, there is a little bit of a strange setup in terms of we've got one extra sub on the bench. That's because we don't know what's going to happen if we go back to this cam with this player, Mr. Emre Can. So, I mean, Klopp says that he looks fit, but it's going to be a last day decision. I personally did not include him in my sort of starting, what would you call it, 15, 16? I don't know how many players are on the starting squad. But Pete, you did, and for a certain reason, you want him on that bench.
Well, think about it, right? At the end of the day, if Emre Can is fit, forget about all this crap where if he's leaving, if he's not leaving, He's going to medical next week. I don't care if he's going on a honeymoon next week. I don't care what he's doing next week. It's what happens on the game.
Mm-hmm.
The game is the most important part. And I'm sure he wants to win a bloody Champions League medal as well. So, and not just that, because it ups his price too and his wages. So I'm sure that he'll enjoy that. So for me, if Emre Can is fit, he just strengthens the squad. Like, I would rather have Emre Can coming on than Klavan to close out a game.
Now, one thing that we've seen in games, very quickly, we'll just go over this and then we'll go into some sort of areas where we can hurt Real Madrid. I reckon a great point that Pete is about to make, and he's told me off air, is the sub that we usually make. Klopp usually does this three at the back sub. And, you know, even Jurgen Klopp himself mentioned this in his press conference. He said, when I came into this Liverpool side, I saw the players that we had. I knew the best way that we could win was to go out and attack. It shows that he actually did think about, can we
defend?
You know, can we, you know, not so much defend, but can we grind out results? You know, can we be
Mourinho or that kind of style?
Yeah. And don't forget, at Dortmund, he was 4-2-3-1, which is traditionally quite a screen based defense.
Rafa Benitez made that.
Yeah, exactly. So when you are a team that wants to be tight and wants to be sure, then you will go 4-2-3-1. You want to have the two screening, but he's just sort of gone, no, I don't want to commit another player in defense. I just want that one pivot or the six. And by the way, Henderson, we've seen, has been the one that's been pressing. So even his six is an attacker. So it's not even a 4-3-3 with a deep lying midfielder. It's just like a flat three almost. But, you know, it shows that came into his mind, but he thought, no, I don't want to do it. So having said that, it's kind of strange to see him revert to three at the back. And that's why we haven't probably seen it work as much. I mean, we saw it sort of fail at West Brom. We were 2-0 up and we tried to sort of bring on Klavan, or was it Lovren, I think, at that stage.
It was
stage.
Even against Roma as well, the first game.
Yes. So, I mean, Pete has an interesting sort of idea that it doesn't matter who Emre Can replaces on the bench, but if he's fit enough, put some injections in his back, who gives a shit? If he's fit enough to make the bench and he's fit enough to play maybe 20, 30 minutes, we can bring him on instead of Klavan.
Yeah, because they're saying bring on Klavan because he's, you know, as a defender, he's big, he wins headers. Well, Emre Can's not small. Because well, what he tends to do is you put Klavan, just move him there in the middle, yeah, perfect. Even though that's not exactly what happens, but because I think it's...
Let's say Milner comes off.
Let's just pretend that's how it is, right?
Yeah.
And then Jenny stays flat with Henderson and whatever. So what you do by that move is that, for me personally, I don't like it because you thin out the middle. So because we're such a team that presses from the front, we're actually losing a player that can press from the front.
He actually goes like this a little bit, doesn't he?
Yeah. But we lose a player that can press from the front because now it only stays two centrally. If our wing backs are too far forward, it actually only leaves us with three at the back.
Mm-hmm.
So I personally would put Emre Can in the middle and play five in the middle and block and have two central midfielders with Henderson and Can. Let's say Henderson finishes the match or whatever.
I mean, you can set this up. Just say let's say in this instance we've taken off Wijnaldum instead of Milner. Or even a tackle.
I was going to say even Firmino or Salah or Mane even. I think Mane will probably be gassed out before the other two.
Okay, let's say it's Mane and Gini stays on.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So what do you do?
Okay, I just put Emre Can with him there. You put Gini and Milner either side. So it's like a narrow 4-4-2.
Yeah. And then you've even got, I think probably Firmino even does that a little bit. And then Salah
and
probably.
And then these forward. Ones just tend to, instead of overlapping, they just tend to do this now.
So this is more akin to the, you know, the Klopp style of playing. It's not, because mentally you're telling the players when you play three at the back, you're saying we're going five in defense.
Yeah.
You're mentally the players are going, we need to defend now. But if you bring on a midfielder for a midfielder, essentially you're telling the players, look, do the same thing. Just keep it a little bit tighter.
I'd bring on a midfielder for an attacker.
Mm-hmm.
Because let's say we're up and we have to close the game out. So closing the game out doesn't necessarily mean score more goals. It just means don't cop anymore.
Yeah, absolutely.
So if we sacrifice an attacker, which I think it probably will be Mane because he does just unbelievable amount of work and he does gas out a little bit. Emre Can comes in and helps Henderson out in the middle park. Emre Can is big. He's strong. He's physical. He drives the ball forward. He's actually a leader on the pitch. I don't care what anybody says. I've seen the way he leads on the pitch.
Mm-hmm.
We've all seen it. In celebrations, he's the first one in there when he's on the pitch as well.
Yeah.
So it's not like he's not a team player. People just get the shits because he wants to leave.
Yeah.
Prove that he wants to leave. Has he come out and said it?
Yeah. And by the way, very quickly, when a player doesn't perform for us anymore, I mean, this is going back to sort of when players leave Liverpool.
Yeah.
When a player doesn't perform for us anymore, we want to get rid of them. So for Emre Can, maybe Liverpool didn't offer him the contract he wanted, so he wants to leave. I mean, we don't... When Reina left, we weren't sort of that... Yeah, we were like, get him out of the fucking club. But anyway.
Well, look, if Emre Can stays or plays in this match and we win the Champions League, I'm going to buy an Emre Can jersey anyway. So I don't care. I just want to win the Champions League. And if it means Emre Can to play, play.
Okay.
Because you've got Lallana who can help out in the middle as well and up front. Ings, yes, to an extent. And we've got Moreno, Clavan, and yeah. I don't know who you'd leave out for Kano.
I know. That's the other question. I mean, I reckon at the moment it looks like probably...
Solanke, if anything.
Probably Ings, actually. Oh, it'd be hard to leave out Ings. Maybe it's a question of Lallana or Emre Can.
Maybe it's just a question of one of the fullbacks. Why don't he three at the back?
Yeah, that's true. It could be either Klein or Moreno that sort of sits out. But everyone has a reason to be on that bench. Yeah. I would say the one who has the least reason is probably one of Solanke or Ings.
But Solanke just had a really good last game of the season.
I know.
That's why I'd leave out Klein, because he hasn't played much.
Yeah.
And then you've got Moreno, who could play anywhere at the
back. Klein's played the most out of all the injured players.
No, he has played more than Moreno and
Clavan. Oh, no. Yeah. Not those two, but he's played more than possibly...
Lallana's not hard.
Yeah. Well, the final thing we want to talk about is how we can hurt Real Madrid. So we'll go into our third board here. If we go back to this sort of camera. So in terms of how to hurt Real Madrid, the one thing that everybody knows with Real Madrid is they love going down
the left.
And Marcelo is... every time you see... I mean, I always say this, that there's a 50-50 chance it's either the right... it was a 33% chance, either left, right, or down the center. So it's not rocket science when someone hits you down one side. You go, oh, they always go down that side. But you can actually say that about Liverpool. It comes from absolutely everywhere. But with Real Madrid, the problem areas are down the left, and both attacking-wise and defensively. The Bayern Munich goal that they scored, it was a scramble. It is a cross from the right-hand side, and I think it just gets all muddled up in the center, and then someone just... toe pokes it in. So that left-hand side is definitely something we should exploit.
Yeah, well, see, when you finish, if you look at the Real Madrid's movements, let's just move them to where in attack the majority of them would be, right? So Ronaldo is now clinically, like, always heading towards the box. Benzema is always part of the build-up around here, but then he always ends up in there, like, late runs. If Bale... or he'd rather be around here, or he'd end up, let's just move him out there because there's a late run in towards the box as well. Cruz will move somewhere in there with Modric hanging out and about. Casemiro always will tend to block the path that Marcelo leaves.
Interesting.
Ramos will do the same. Rafa Varane is always side by side, and
whoever the right back is.
Well, don't think that this guy just hangs around as well, by the way, because he may be one of the late runners through in there. Just one, but then, because if it doesn't go to Marcelo, because everyone's thinking, oh, here it comes, that change of play through, obviously these two world-class midfielders, and it goes out the other way. But more often than not, this is what they will kind of look like. My thing is here is everyone's focuses on, where is he?
Rectangle?
Yeah, the rectagon. Everyone says that, there it is there. That's the area. And I agree, but at the same time, you've still got two players that are going to cover it. I think maybe not. My theory is, and what I think is, it all comes down to this alien here, Firmino, because in the spaces behind Casemiro and in front of Ramos is where I've seen players, for example, Christian Pulisic live in the Champions League group stages. I was lucky enough to beat the Bernabeu for that. Luis Suarez, Messi. I even showed you that video with Messi.
Yep.
It's the players that get into the pockets behind Casemiro and in front of Ramos tend to do the most damage.
Mm-hmm.
And what better player to have for this kind of match, if that's a weakness that they've got?
Also, if you look at a ball that maybe, we've seen either Milner be sometimes in this position, or Trent Alexander-Arnold, they sort of, it is a successful pass to play to Salah just down there. But, if Madrid do get used to it, there's always this pass that you can play. We forgot to put the ball in, by the way.
That's all right.
But you can play this pass to Firmino, and then there's that little triangle thing to Salah. I mean, that can also rip them to shreds, like you're saying.
Yeah, because another one is that what we need to look at is, we're forgetting this. So let's say all the focus is going to be on Salah and Firmino, which more often it might be. But if he gets into these pockets here, then you've got Raf Varane trying to close in on him, Ramos trying to squeeze in, and Casemiro doing the, let's just try to block him in. Well, Firmino has created the world of space for one of the quickest players that will be on that pitch.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he might drop the ball further back for Genie or Henderson or Milner to play it into here, and all of a sudden Mane is on goal. Well, there we go. So, it is what it is, right?
Yeah.
So all this place where Mane can actually filter in and run on beyond, because you know what? I don't think Mane gets the respect he deserves in terms of what he's actually... Because yes, he does waste a lot of opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And in front of goal, yes, he does, you know, make some silly decisions. But I don't think he gets the respect he deserves because he's so dangerous.
And it's something that I said at the beginning of the season. I actually said that I think we're seeing Jurgen Klopp trying to replace Coutinho. I think the minute that Coutinho said he wanted to leave, Jurgen Klopp was preparing for it. Because that Watford game, again, I come back to that game. But I do think that's an interesting thing that we've seen from the beginning of the season, Klopp preparing Mane to be more of a number 10, like you said, an underrated role. Yeah, there's been a couple of sort of, you know, one-on-ones, two-on-ones where he may not have passed, or he's gone himself, or he's wasted opportunities and he's skied the ball or whatever. But like you're saying, he's probably been underrated, and he's actually scored more goals than what he did last season, and he's playing a different role. He's almost like the, you know, the Coutinho number 10 on the left wing, which is, you know, that's incredible for, you know, positional change for someone we thought was just a pacey winger with tricks.
And this may be off topic, but it goes to show what Jurgen Klopp may be looking for in the summer window.
Absolutely.
But
the final thing that I did want, because that's pretty much, you know, all the stuff that we did want to talk about. There's one more thing. It's not really sub based, but it's in game management. We talked about the Emre Can sub as a possible in game management thing, but this is something that I saw in the Manchester City game, and I haven't seen us do since. And Pete, you know what it is. You probably predict what it is. It's the Salah Mane switch. So against Manchester City, we were struggling a little bit in the away leg when they were just absolutely hitting us. And what was happening was, you know, Salah's good on the break, but he tends to drift in on his left foot and goes towards the goal. But if the other team is good at cutting out that central option, the only thing that we can do is go around them. So in an instance where, you know, if it's 0-0 against Madrid, or Madrid are sort of, they've got the upper hand, or they've scored a goal and we're down 1-0, the games that come to my mind are Chelsea. Just want to check this camera. Good. It's Chelsea and Manchester United. They're the games that scare me the most. Now, I'm not saying that Madrid are exactly like that, but they can, you know, they can sit in, they can dig their heels in, and they can possibly frustrate us. So the thing that, if we go to this camera, the thing that I want to see happen, if that does become a problem, is this very simple thing. So we can see here, this is Liverpool in attacking sort of formation. I want to see Salah go central, Firmino sort of, almost as that, if it's like a, you know, just like a, basically what Mane does, that roaming left wing slash number 10. And then I just want to see here if Marcelo does maybe, you know, sit in and decide not to attack that much if they are attacking, if they are ahead. I just want to see Mane do his get to here, or Mane do his get to there and there. I mean, against Arsenal, remember last season, what was it, the 4-3 game that we played? And he ends up going here and then back here again. He's actually very good on the right, coming in on his left foot. He's not as good on the right, on the left, going out on his left foot. He prefers to come in on his right. So he's always a cutting in sort of guy. When you cut in on the left and you're a right footer, people expect it. But when you're a right footer cutting in from the right on your left, no one actually expects it. So that's one thing that I want to see happen, you know, in terms of in-game management.
Yeah, I think if we go back to that old, that first screen, that one we were just playing with, I can almost guarantee two things. I shouldn't say guarantee, but I'm gonna say it, stuff it.
Yeah.
I think what you will see is that... Oh, you killed me there. I was going to use Milner there.
That's right.
I was going to say, I think you will see Milner and Trent more often than not double up on Marcelo. Because as we saw Milner do that with the Man City on Sané as well, Leroy Sané. I think you will see a similar treatment in there. I do also think you will see Lovren and Henderson double up on Ronaldo. I think that you end up seeing a 2v1s and 2v1s in here.
Do you think that's it for a long ball? Or for a header?
No, that's just in general. Because they won't play that kind of pass.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about in general play, because they will try and hit the gaps in between the lines. That's something, it's just a Spanish methodology of football. They play to break lines. So I think in order to prevent the lines from being broken, I think you've got to double up on the players that they will use more often than not, because I think Henderson will be looking at that pass that maybe Henderson can do. If he has to come out here, he will. Or I have to drop back and help Lovren, because Ronaldo will target Lovren more so than Van Dijk. This is where Van Dijk's got to be kind of like just that aware, kind of just sit off just maybe an extra 5 meters just in case. I think then he has to press forward and help Genie with one of these two. But then again, I think you will see this inhumane person come back and help as well.
You also see Mane do a lot of this sort of work, and that's when we get this sort of pseudo 4-2-3-1 sort of thing happening, where you, or 4-4-2, whatever, with your, with Salah as the furthest forward. Whenever we see heat maps, Salah's always the one that's furthest forward, not Firmino.
Well, so, yeah, I think that's what you will see. I think I'm going to put some, I'm not going to say anything crazy, but I guarantee for the match you will see Milner helping Trent, and I guarantee you will see Henderson helping out Lovren with those two players. I'm just, something I've been thinking about over and over, and if I was Jurgen Klopp, what would I do? And I think that's exactly what I'll do. Absolutely. Prevent the balls from getting to their feet, or into their anywhere, really. Just stop the fucking ball from getting to them.
Stop it getting to them. I mean, okay. Anyway, that's been another episode of The Training Ground. We've had a lot of fun playing around with our football tactics app here on The Training Ground. And hopefully, you know, we've opened up a couple of possible paths of analysis for people to postulate over as we wait in anticipation for this final.
Do we do a prediction?
No, we're not doing a prediction now. We're actually doing a live show at Cheers, so we'll have plenty of time for predictions there. But for people here who are watching overseas, you know, you won't get to sort of be in on that, but you'll be watching the final wherever you watch the final.
I'm going to finish off on this then, if that's all right.
Yeah.
Real Madrid have been known to start slow throughout the season, at points throughout the season, right? Liverpool have been known to start way too quick and then die off.
Mm-hmm.
I truly believe a quick, strong start, and I tweeted it the other day, I just have to say it, a quick, strong start against Real Madrid, if we can catch them in the first 20, 25 minutes with a goal.
And also, when we do quick starts, we don't usually score on the quick start, we actually score after the sort of quick start.
Yeah.
We see what's going on with them, and then we hit them, and it's good to have 6 or 7 opportunities and then score on the sort of, or 4 or 5 opportunities, score on the 6th. But anyway, that's been the podcasting couch. That's been The Training Ground. We'll see you all, hopefully, after Liverpool win the final. Lovely cushion header. But Gerrard!